We're going to be looking in Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11, often referred to as the chapter of Hall of Faith, if you will, because it speaks of so many Christians, so many heroes of the faith, and you know how God used them in a powerful way. And I think sometimes, you know, it's great to look at the examples of men and women who have faithfully stood for the Lord and faithfully stood up and, you know, just watched what God can do with someone who is just a man or a woman of faith. We're going to talk about faithfulness tonight. Faithfulness. We're going to start reading in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." Just a few illustrations and examples of some folks in the Bible who, by all accounts, were just average people who did extraordinary things. You say, well, how can they be average people when they accomplish such great things for God? Well, it wasn't necessarily what they did that made them special. It was their faith. It was their faith to believe God. And I believe that even in today's day and age, even in the times that we're living in, that if we, by faith, would step out, if by faith we would stand up and say, hey, I'm not going to allow this world to drag me down. I'm not going to allow this world to place fear in my heart. I'm not going to allow this world to change or to compromise what I believe, but I am going to stand firm. I'm going to faithfully trust and believe God to do great things, that we can still see great things done. Can we see things being done like this again? Well, yes. It's the same God that we serve today that did these miracles and the great things that were done through these heroes of faith, if you will. God hasn't changed. Times may have changed, but God has not. God has the same power today that he did then to do miracles. And if we would step out by faith, and if we would be faithful, I believe we would see those things happen once again. Why should we be faithful? You know, the word faithful is an interesting thing. If you look up the word faithful, it means to be, you know, committed to something, or to be standing by something. But I think it even for the Christian, it goes even beyond that. You know, a lot of times we equate faithfulness with what? Church attendance. That's a form of faithfulness, but I think sometimes we cheapen what the word actually means. Being faithful is not just showing up for church, although that's part of it. The word faithful means to be what? Full of faith. We need to be full of faith. Do we believe God today? Why should we be faithful? Why should we be faithful? Well, I read this. This is interesting. Old baseball player Joe DiMaggio played for the Yankees. I'm not a Yankee fan, as Mr. Knorr well knows. But Joe DiMaggio, great Yankees player, he was asked, and I thought this was interesting, he was asked, why do you, when you, your team is so far ahead, you pretty much have clinched the pennant, why do you continue to work so hard? every game. Why don't you ease up a little bit? And this is what he said. Because there might be somebody out there who's never seen me play. Guess what? For the Christian, you know why we need to be faithful? Because there might be somebody out there who's never seen a Christian. And if we're the first person that they see, the first Christian they come across, would we want to be anything less than full of faith? We need to be faithful because it's commanded. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we all are stewards. We're stewards of the blessings of God financially. We are to be stewards of the things that God has given us. We have to be good stewards of the time that God has given to us. And yes, time. We need to be good stewards. The Bible says it is required, not an option, not suggested, but required. Why should we be faithful? Well, because there's rewards. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Well, that's where I want to be. If there's going to be blessings, we should desire to want to see God's blessings in our life. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. For the Christian, faithfully is how we live. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. We're going to talk about these things in a little more detail. And we should be faithful because the example of Jesus Christ. Because of the example of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ doesn't change from day to day? That his faithfulness to us is not dependent on how we feel or how he feels. Other than he loves us and he's faithful. And the Bible says that God who cannot lie. So if God says it, it's so. It doesn't change from day to day. We change. Our emotions change. Our temperament changes. God never changes. And our faith is in a God that never changes. And we have the example of Jesus Christ. So faithfulness. Well, if we're going to be full of faith, we need to understand what faith is and why faith is important. The Bible says right there that we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Well, that means if we're not living by faith, we can't please God. How do we please God? By faith, by being faithful, by being full of faith. So let's look at a few things in regard to faithfulness tonight, in regard to faithfulness. Number one, we need to have faith to do things God's way. Look over in Proverbs chapter 14. We need to have faith to do things God's way. In Proverbs chapter number 14 and in verse 12, the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, there may be things that appear to be right, that seem to be right, that even look right, but may not necessarily be right. And sometimes, you know, we have to choose between the two. And oftentimes we choose the wrong path. Why? Because there's things that appear to be right, but they're not. God wants things done his way. How do we differentiate between the things that appear to be right and the things that are right? The Word of God. The Word of God. You know, today, the Word of God has been watered down because people are trying to mold or reshape the Word of God to fit something that they're trying to do. And as a Christian, the Word of God is supposed to shape us, not the other way around. But we have taken the Word of God and we'll pull things out of context and we'll grab a verse here, grab a verse there, and we'll say, well, see, that's what that says. Well, no, hold on a second. That's not necessarily what that says. Read the whole passage of Scripture. And we can take things and you can, listen, you know what's going on today. You could take things out of context to fit something in your life that you want it to fit, but that's not what's pleasing God. God wants us to trust him. And if we're choosing between the two and you say, well, I want to do things right, then we need to follow the Word of God. We need to follow the Word of God. We don't just do things any which way. God has a specific way to do things. For example, praying, worshiping. You know, a couple of years ago, some of the when my wife and I were in youth group, Some of the teens had asked me about what was worship, and I taught a couple of weeks later because I thought it was interesting on what some of the ideas of what worship is and what worship is not. Hey, look, worship is exalting and lifting up the name of Jesus Christ in our hearts and in the things we do. Exalting and worshiping is not carrying on with loud banging music, throwing our hands up in the air, having, even from a preacher's perspective, my wife and I were at a service one time and the preacher started running around the church. And I thought to myself, that's a little bit much. Now, I'm not questioning anybody's heart. Okay? And listen, you can get excited about God. And I think it's okay to be excited about God. And it's okay to get a little loud. I'm just kidding. It's okay to be excited and to be loud, but not if the intention of it is to draw attention to yourself. And there's the difference. Worship starts in our hearts. What is the desire? Is the desire to bring everybody's eyes on us, or is it to lift up the name of Jesus? Praying. How do we do things God's way and not our way, and the way we pray, and the way we serve? How about witnessing? Church attendance, giving, and so on and so forth. God wants things done His way, not how we feel like doing it. And guess what? The Word of God lays out plans for us to do these things and how we should do it. We need to have faith to believe and to trust God that His ways are best. So we need to trust God to do things His way, even though something else may appear to be right. And listen, as I've said over the last couple of weeks, Satan will dress things up to look good. He will deceive us by making things look flowery, sound really good, even sound right, but weighed against the Word of God. Because God wants things done His way. His way. Letter B. We need to have faith to do things God's way, but we need to be faithful in the small things. And nothing, let me follow that up by saying this. Nothing that God calls us to do is a small thing. I think sometimes we don't serve God or don't do some of the things that God's called us to do because we don't think it's an important job. Well, let me tell you, every job that God calls you to do is an important job. Every job. Say, well, some jobs are more important than others. According to who? According to whom? See, we allow the world to convince us that, doing whatever in the church is a kind of a less important task. Well, that's not true. That's a lie of the devil. And that'll keep us from serving God and from being faithful in the small things, because what happens is we start to look at them and say, well, yeah, it's just a little thing. Who cares? Who really cares? God cares. God cares. Stories told of a man by the name of Mr. Gerard, who was desperate to look for a job. And he had gone out and put his name out there looking at a bunch of different places to get a job. And he went to this one guy and talked to the boss of the company. He said, listen, I'm desperate. I'm looking for a job. Can you help me out? And the guy says, sure, I'll hire you. He goes, great. What do you want me to do? And he says, there's a pile of bricks in the corner. He says, see that pile of bricks? He goes, yeah. He says, I need you to take them. I need you to put them all the way on the other side over there. He says, I need you to stack them up. He says, okay, I'll do it. And he goes out and he stacks them up. He finishes, he pays him. Next day he comes back. He says, you have anything else for me to do? He says, yeah, I want you to take the pile of bricks that you stacked up over there, and I want you to take them, and I want you to move them back where you started and stack them up over there. Well, he goes out and does it. This goes on for about 5 or 6 days. And the guy keeps coming back. He figures, well, I'm getting paid. Later on, he has a job that he needs done that requires someone to make a business decision for this company, and he sends this Mr. Gerard to do it. And when he gets to the place, he had to make a bid, and he ends up winning the bid for the company, and the people look at him, they have no idea who this guy is. They go, who are you? He goes, well, I'm so-and-so's agent. I work for him now. And they were like, you know why he got that job? Because he was faithful in the small things. He didn't question, why do you want me to move these bricks back and forth? He just did it. And sometimes God says, hey, I have something for you to do. And we're like, nah, I'll wait for the big stuff to come along. And listen, if we're not going to be faithful in the small things, God is never going to trust us with the big things. I often tell people will ask, hey, I struggle with knowing what God's will is. Well, are you doing the things that you know God's called you to do? Well, yeah, kind of. Well, listen, be faithful in the small things and God will entrust you with the bigger things. Look at the life of David. David got called, but he was busy in what he was responsible to do. He wasn't neglecting his duties. As a matter of fact, he was very responsible in doing the things he was required to do. We need to be faithful in the small things. Luke chapter 16 illustrates this for us. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Pretty clear. He's saying, listen, if you can't be trusted to do the little things, you can't be trusted to do the big things. If I'm running a company and you have someone who's working, you know, at a lower level position and they miss a lot of work, they're constantly late, and you talk to them and they say, listen, I'm looking for somebody for a managerial position. The guy says, oh, I'm ready. He goes, yeah, but you're out a lot. You miss a lot. You call in sick a lot and you're always late. You take extended lunches. He goes, yeah, but that's just because it's this job. When I get that job, I'll change. Ask yourself this, would you promote him? Of course not. Well, listen, why is it any different with God? God says, listen, be faithful. I always tell people, listen, whatever you do, I don't care how small it is, you do it the best that you can. The best that you can. At my old job, I think I've shared this with you before, they had some transition they were doing and they needed someone to be the point man. For the transition. That means that as the stuff came in from this other company, I was supposed to be the guy who kind of took care of all the stuff. It just became basically a haul stuff from here to there and back and forth. The bricks, pretty much, which was fine. Well, we ended up having all this equipment and stuff, and I had it all piled up because I really didn't have any place to put it, and they were fine with that. But people in the company decide, oh, I see all this stuff piled up over here. It must be garbage. And they decided to start throwing their garbage on. This is a corporation. And they started throwing empty coffee cups, paper, junk, everywhere. It looked like a mess. So my boss comes out one day. He's upset. He knows it wasn't my fault. But he says, could you do me a favor? Could you clean all this up? I said, sure. And some of the guys I worked with saw me out there cleaning this stuff. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm cleaning the stuff. It's a mess over here. And more than one person said to me, well, that's not your job. You're not here to pick up garbage. I said, listen, the boss asked me to do it. If they want me to sweep the floors, I'll sweep the floors. Now, I don't say that to pat myself on the back, but to say this, listen, we need to be faithful in the little things that God calls us to do. Sometimes we look at it, I was like, I'll be ready once God gives me something big to do. And guess what? That day won't come because we're not faithful in the little things. We're not faithful in the little things. Letter C. Be open to God's ways. You know, if you think back in Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel, if you look at the two things, there's a very interesting contrast. You have Abel's character versus Cain's character. You have Abel's offering versus Cain's offering. And if you look at them, you say, well, yeah, there was a difference because, you know, God required the animal. He didn't want the fruit. But beyond that, if you read, why? What was the big thing? What was the main difference? Abel's offering was an offering of faith. It was an offering of faith. It was something that faithfully he offered it to God. And you know, when you look at situations like that, and oftentimes we look, well, why isn't God blessing? Are we stepping out by faith? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Abel's offering, the main difference was that his offering was an offering of faith. you look at their character. You know, look at Cain's response. Do you ever have a situation that didn't quite work out as you expected? Never, right? Do you ever have a situation that you had this all figured out, right? But God had just a little bit different plan. Do you ever have a situation that didn't work out as you expected, only to discover that the end result was better than the original plan you had? Do you ever have a situation where you had all this figured out, but God had a different plan, and when you get to the end, you think, oh, wow, I didn't see that. You know why? Because God's ways are not our ways. God's plan is far better than anything we could have. And we need to be open to God's ways. How are we going to do that? We need to have faith to do things God's way. We need to accept the fact and understand that, listen, God's ways are better than our ways. Does that mean we go in without a plan? No. We want a plan. We want to be organized. But always be open to doing things God's ways. Always be open to doing things God's way. Listen, things aren't always going to... We wake up one day, we have these great plans, and at the end of the day, things are completely upside down. Things are not the way you expected them to be. Think of the life of Joseph. You think the day that his brothers threw him in that pit, that he got up in the morning thinking, hey, this is the day that I'm going to get thrown into a pit by my brothers? I don't think so. I don't think that day ended the way he envisioned it when the day started. But when he gets to the end, and when his relationship with him and his brothers has been reconciled and restored, he can make the statement, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Why? Because he understood and he was open to God's ways. Why? Because he had faith to do things the way God wanted them done. He didn't understand them. He didn't know what the end result was going to be, but he trusted God. He had faith to trust God. Do we have faith to trust God? Do we have faith to believe that God's ways are best? Look over in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like the life of Joseph? He was faithful throughout. He didn't understand it, but he was faithful, and God blessed him tremendously. And when he gets to the end of the story, you find out, you know what? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And listen, God does all things well. God doesn't do anything to hurt us. Everything God does is for our good, whether we understand it or not. We need to be faithful. Number two, we need to have faith to do things God's way. We need to have faith to believe that God saves. I think we believe that. You think of Noah and the ark. When we read in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Noah in verse number 7. We turn back to Hebrews 11. We know the ark is a picture of Christ. It's a picture of salvation. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is, here it is, by faith. That ark is a picture of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God commanded Noah to build that ark. Noah had no idea what rain was. He didn't even know why. He just said, God told him, it's to save your house, build the ark. Noah said, okay. And they built the ark. There was one door to get into that ark, by the way. One door. And one way to enter in. If you read in John chapter 10, you don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 10, and in verse number 9, the Bible says, I am the door. This is Christ speaking. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. One door to that ark. There was one way to enter into that ark. Those who entered the ark were saved. Those who come to Christ are saved. We need to have faith. Listen, when we came to Christ, we believed by faith that God was going to save us. Those who rejected the warning and mocked Noah and the messenger of God, well, we know the end result. Those who entered were protected from the destruction that awaited those who didn't. But it took faith. It took the faith of Noah to build that ark. It's going to rain. Whatever that is. But God said it, and he did it. Have we ever, think about the last time that we did something just because God said so, or because God put it on our heart, and we didn't stop to question everything that God asked us to do. We just did it. You don't understand. I got to think this through because, you know, I have a job and I got a schedule. Don't you think God knows that? We try and do all those things, and what the devil does is he takes those things and he tries to convince us that we can't do those things for God, and then we don't. Where God says, listen, this is what I want you to do. Listen, when we came to Christ for salvation, it was by faith. And we believed by faith that God saved us. Well, then we should continue to believe God by faith. It's almost like, well, when it comes to salvation, we're going to believe by faith. But for everything else, we want to wait and see. And God says, listen, it's going to take faith. Just like in the first point, faith to do things God's way. Hey, we didn't get saved our way. Because there's only one way to salvation. That's Jesus Christ. There's no other name other than Jesus Christ whereby we must be saved. There's not a multitude of gods that we could go to. There's not a multitude of ways. As a matter of fact, if you read in John chapter 10, it says any man that tries to go in any other way than through that door is a thief. There's one way. Well, that's intolerant. That's unloving. And that's what the world is trying to convince us of, and that's fine. But it's still the truth, and we need to stand by faith. Listen, you go to the doctor. You have something. You need to have surgery for something or whatever. You put faith in that doctor, don't you? When they give you the anesthesia, you better believe that's faith. When you're laying out cold on the table before you go under, that's faith. You have faith to believe that that doctor is going to take care of you. If you, for whatever reason, need a lawyer to protect you, you're putting faith in that lawyer. Listen, I have. If you ever read through anything, any legal document, have you ever seen those things? First of all, they make the print about as small as you can possibly make it. I think that's done intentionally so you don't read it. But even if you could read it, I can't understand 98% of it anyway. So you got to get somebody who can understand this stuff. Guess what? When you hire that lawyer, you're placing your faith in him to protect you. We're willing to put our faith in a doctor or a lawyer, but we question God. We need to trust God. Listen, if we have faith to believe that God saves, then we have faith to believe that God knows what's best for us. I read this good quote. Saving faith may thus be defined as voluntary turning from all hope and grounds based on self-merit and assuming an attitude of expectancy toward God, trusting him to do a perfect saving work based only on the merit of Christ. Nothing else. It has nothing to do with us. It's only on what Jesus Christ did. The finished work at Calvary. Let me ask you these two questions then. Where does our faith for salvation lie? It's on Jesus Christ. We just read that quote, right? There's a lot of people who have their faith based on false gods, on a religion, on works, on idols, on money, on a whole lot of things. And if your faith for salvation lies in any of those things other than Jesus Christ, then you need to talk to us because we need to show you what the Bible says. This is a Wednesday night crowd, though. We know salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, then let me ask you this. What does our faith for salvation instill in us to do? What does that, because we have faith to believe Christ for salvation, what is it instilling us? What is it driving us to do? Is it driving us to be a witness? Is it driving us to have a burden? To pray for souls? This Wednesday night prayer meeting, we should be excited to be ready to pray. You should be sitting there going, man, I can't wait till he shuts up so I can pray. Hopefully you don't just say, I can't wait till he shuts up. Period. But what, you know, our faith that we have in Jesus Christ should be driving us to have a burden for others, to pray for souls, to be a witness. Why? Because we know what the end result is. Listen, Noah knew what the end result was. Why would Noah continue to do it time after time after time after time after time? Because God told him to do it, and because he understood, hey, listen, this is what's going to save my family. Don't lose faith in those who haven't been saved yet. Keep praying for them. Keep having a burden for them. Continue to be a witness for them. I know when you have family gatherings, they all run when you go in the room. That's okay. When they run, just yell, hallelujah. Listen, we could be a witness just in our life. But don't lose faith. Don't lose faith. Some of us got saved the first time we heard the message. Some of us were hard on nuts to crack, right? Hey, listen, 6 months. 6 months of daily hearing it took for me. 6 months. My wife heard it once. She got saved. Don't lose faith. Some people, 20 years they're prayed for before they get saved. Has God stopped being faithful? No. Don't lose faith. Don't lose faith. The last one is this. Faith to believe God can do miracles. Do you believe God can do miracles today? Letter A, believe God even when man has no answers. Believe God even when man has no answers. What does that mean? Think about the story of Abraham and Sarah. God said, you're going to be the father of many nations. And he says, from you. And then he tells him that your wife Sarah is going to conceive. She's going to have a child. And what is Abraham's reaction? Does he jump for joy? No, he drops and he laughs. He says, God, I'm old, really old. No, but while he may have struggled, he still had faith. That is when man had, he said, well, there's no possible, listen, we're old, it's not physically possible. It just can't happen, God. That's why it's a miracle from God. But you know what's interesting? If you think about that, now that's a miracle. You know that that's a miracle from God. But you know that Abraham's faith was tested long before that? Over in Genesis chapter 12, you say, well, did God just put that on him and ask him to trust by faith at that one moment? Well, no. In Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 1, the Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 4, so Abram departed. God says, Abram, I'm calling you out of what you're comfortable with. I want you to leave your home, your house, your family, and I want you to go to a place that I'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you now, but you're just going to go. And Abram doesn't sit there and go, let me pray about it, Lord. Let me pack. Hold on. Let me get all my affairs in order. No, he says, he left. He had faith to believe God. And you say, well, that's a big thing. Yeah, it is. But some of us might be sitting here going, you know, if God called me to something like that, I think I might do that. That's good. But then you get to the place where he tells Abram at a very old age and Sarah at a very old age, hey, you're going to have a child. George Mueller said, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. When man has no answers, God does. Have you seen God do a miracle that we have no explanation for? That you say, I have no idea how that happened, but it did. Do you have faith to believe God can do miracles like that? I do. Letter B, believe God even if you're the only one who does. Believe God even if you're the only one who does. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Sometimes people may think, you know what, that's crazy. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and in verse number 21. He is thy praise, and he is thy God that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. What things is he talking about? Exodus chapter 14 tells us, and in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. He's reminding them, hey, do you remember when the walls of water and the dry ground and you guys walked right between those two? Do you remember that God? Moses stood there as the people started saying, Moses, you've brought us to our death. Look around you. We can't go anywhere. We have nowhere to turn. Moses didn't stop believing God. As a matter of fact, he was probably aggravated. Guys, you've been in bondage for 400 years. You're free. God freed you. Do you think he brought you here to die? God saved us. Do you think he saved us to make our lives miserable? No. Sometimes we need to, by faith, believe that God's going to do a miracle. If I were to ask for a raise of hands, and I'm not, but if I were to ask for a raise of hands and say, you know, how many people have prayed and hope to see a revival in their lifetime? You can walk around and say, we want to experience a revival just like they used to have in the old days. Those things are great. It would be wonderful to experience that. Have you read what's going on in North Carolina? Has anybody looked at the news and seen what's going on in North Carolina? They've had revival meetings. My wife and I have been talking about that this week. Look on the news. 5,000 people to 7,000 people are showing up in tents. They've had to get bigger tents. They've had to get bigger tents. How many weeks is it now? 6 weeks? 7? 8 weeks. The evangelist who's preaching out there, his name is C.T. Townsend. He had to cancel another revival meeting this week, the second one he's had to cancel, so that he can continue to preach. This man's been preaching for 8 weeks. With the exception of 1 week where they had a youth night or a youth weekend or something. I think it was Kenny Baldwin that preached it there, right? They've had over 400 people saved. Every night, 2 hours in a tent. They had a tent. They had to get a bigger tent. They've had to use people's business properties. The people are like, yes, please. They had a little girl. My wife and I were just reading that today. A little girl who's been praying for her parents to get saved. Her daddy got saved. You say, man, I've been praying to see revival. I'm telling you, go on the news. Just type in Burlington, North Carolina, and it'll come up. There's a whole slew of news articles about it. Now, you won't see that on CNN or NBC or any of those. You get 100 people protesting something at the Capitol, and you got 100 crews there. But God is doing something. You say, well, revival doesn't happen. You know what? I believe God can do miracles. And I believe that, listen, they're saying, listen, we're going to keep doing this as long as the people keep coming out. Can you imagine? Well, those kind of things don't happen anymore. They do if we believe by faith. What's the difference between what we read in the Bible and today? It was faith. It's faith to believe. Hudson Taylor was on one of his sailing trips as he was on his way to China, and he's downstairs in his, I guess, his cabin or whatever, sleeping, and the guy who was manning the boat comes running down, and he wakes him up. He goes, wake up, wake up. He goes, what's the problem? He goes, there's no wind, and we're just drifting towards this island, which we know there's heathens and cannibals there. So Hudson Taylor looks at him. He goes, what do you want me to do? He goes, I know you're a man who believes in God. We need you to pray for wind. He says, oh, all right. He said, put the sails up. He goes, what? He said, put the sails up. He goes, why am I going to put the sails up? There's no wind. He says, because I'm about to go pray. So he goes down to pray. 45 minutes later, the captain comes down. Hudson Taylor's on his face, on his knees, praying. He says, you can get up. We have more wind than we can handle. He said, well, that's a coincidence. Listen, it is not a coincidence when you pray and watch God do the work. Believe God. Believe God, even if no one else does. Additionally to Hudson Taylor, he said during an especially trying time in his work at the China Inland Missions, Hudson Taylor wrote to his wife, and he wrote this, we have 25 cents and all the promises of God. I don't recommend that, coming home and going, hey, honey, I only have 25 cents, but we got all the promises of God. But you know what that is? That's faith. He believed that God was going to provide. And if you read the story of Hudson Taylor, God provided for him. He never, ever, ever. I remember reading a story. I'm going to mess it up a little bit, but he was without any money. He was trying to get to China. He was without money. He had worked for this doctor, and the doctor was supposed to pay him, but something happened. The doctor got called, and he didn't pay him. And Hudson Taylor's like, I got no money. I got no food. What do I do? So he said, well, I'm just going to trust God. God knows, And he went home. And at about 10:30 that night, he gets a knock on his door. So he opens the door, and it's the doctor. He says, oh, what's up? He says, I'm sorry. I completely forgot to pay you. And the guy drove, I don't know how many miles out of his way, or went how many miles to pay him the money that he owed him. You say, well, that's money that's owed to him. That's not really a miracle. That's faith. I mean, Hudson Taylor could have griped. He could have complained. But he prayed. And believe God, even if our faith is small. Believe God even when the possibilities don't exist, and believe God when our faith is small. You think of the story of Elisha. And the woman, all she had left was these little bit of oil, a little bit of cake, and that was it, and she was going to die. They had nothing else. They had no money. And Elijah says, go get some jars. We'll fill them up with oil. And he says, okay. And they get jars. And you know the story. The jars keep getting filled and filled and filled and filled. And you know what? God's resources didn't run out. The jars did. Listen, even if our faith is small, believe God. The Bible says if you have faith of a mustard seed, that's small. Do we have small faith to believe God for great things? God has infinite resources. We can believe God for miracles. I'll leave you with this story. There's a story of a pastor about 40 years ago now in Uganda. This is back in the time, and I don't know if some of you know, if you know your history of Idi Amin. He was a dictator. He was, cruel to the nth degree. He was a terrible man. And this man was a Christian pastor. And on Easter Sunday morning, the warning was, listen, you're a Christian. They were killing Christians. They were slaughtering Christians. Anybody who proclaimed to be a Christian, spoke of Christianity, hideous. They were killing them in cruel ways. Well, Easter Sunday morning comes and he says, well, I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian, I'm going to preach. And he goes and he preaches at this location. 7,000 people showed up. And he preached. And some of Idi Amin's security detail was waiting for him after the meeting. And so when everything wrapped up and he left, they followed him back to his church. And they told him, they said, you're coming with us. Do you have any last words before you die? And he was nervous. He was shaken up. And he thought of his family, he thought of his wife, of his children. And he said this. He said, he thought of the risen Christ that he had just preached on. And God empowered him. And this is what he told him. He says, do what you must. The word of God says that in Christ I am already dead. And that my real life is hidden with him in God. It is not my life that is in danger, but yours. I am alive in the risen Lord, but you are still dead in your sins. May he spare you from eternal destruction. Wow. Talk about needing a miracle. And these five security guys, armed security detail, they looked and they thought about this for a minute. And they lowered their weapons. And they said, can you please tell us how we can be saved? And he led the five of them to the Lord. And then, instead of being his attackers, they became his protectors. They became his security detail. Don't tell me God can't do miracles. But we need to have faith to believe. We need to have faith to believe. Do we have faith to believe God to do miracles? Listen, God can do anything if we step out by faith. Amen. We need to go to the Lord in prayer. Before we take any additional requests, let me make this announcement first.